All right. And I want to go through a few ground rules of how we manage these calls. Excuse me. I'm going to go through a few ground rules, how we manage these calls, and to give everyone a heads up. Hold on. We just had someone new come in. Caller from 510 area code. Your first name, please.
Jonell.
Jonell. Could you help me out with that, brother?
I'm sorry. Jonell. Yeah, that's my name.
Yeah, but, well, all right. I'll figure it out. Thank you. All right. So my name is Brother Lou, and I will be the host for this evening. I want to thank you all for coming to this week's Black Wallace Matter Town Hall meeting. If this is your first time calling in, like I said, I want to run down a few ground rules for how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours or so, but if we have a really good one and if everyone is so inclined, we will extend it. So first, let me just say in advance, we appreciate you coming to hang out with us tonight. I hope you're feeling inspired because you are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together to discuss solutions to many of the problems we face in the Black community in an organized and an intelligent manner. If you noticed when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister, and the reason we address one another as such is to show respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we do not discuss religion, we do not discuss the Black male-female dynamic, and we do not discuss political party affiliation. We can discuss politics as it pertains to Black people in America and how we can use it to improve our situation, but we don't want to get into a discussion about which party did this and which party did not do this, because those are all opinion-based topics, and we will be here arguing, going around and around in a circle all night, and we are here to be productive. So for all the guests on the call, let me tell you a little bit about this organization. If you have not yet watched the blueprint, Black Wallets Matter is a member association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix problems in the Black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the Black dollars we already have. It's estimated we spent $1.3 trillion last year, so if we were to pool our resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact and transform our community. This is a form of Black capitalism. No matter how you may feel about the system, it is the one that we have here in America, and any radical ideas about operating outside of the system will just be a waste of precious time and resources. So the best thing for us to do is to learn the rules of the game and get really good at playing it. The purpose of the member association is to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in the Black community and are motivated to take action. The first thing you need to understand is when you have a systematic problem, such as the one we have here in America with the oppression and the injustices, you need a systematic solution. I think the reason why nothing else has worked for us before, we've never really taken the time to build a system to counterbalance the oppression and the injustices we face. But that's what the blueprint outlines. The blueprint intends to address these problems in a systematic way. It talks about how we can build a system to use our existing resources to work for our own benefit. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but it's definitely something new. It's something different. And personally, I think most of us are just sick and tired of sitting around talking about what we could have and what we should do, but never actually doing anything. So, you know, I want to let every single person on this call tonight know if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you've had enough, then, you know, maybe this organization is the one for you. Because the overall goals of this organization is to realistically change the economic, political, and social conditions of Black people here in America. We believe it will take a generation or two to achieve this goal. It will require a sacrifice from those of us who can to do for those of us who can't. We will have to become the quote-unquote elders, and we will have to make things better for future generations of Black people, and that includes your children and your grandchildren, so they will not suffer the same oppression and injustices we have today. They'll have it better than us, so we need to put certain protections in place for them now. That includes wealth, and that includes political influence. So if you're sick and tired of, you know, being in this condition, and you're willing to set aside your differences and unite with your brothers and sisters, regardless of their religious or political or sexual orientation, and focus on the goal of building a black economy so that we can have money to solve all the problems, then we want to work with you. No matter what solution any of us come up with, it's going to take a financial investment. Other ethnic and social groups have proved to us that this works. You can look at the Jewish community and you can look at the LGBT community. We need to stop focusing on our differences, and we need to stop getting so emotional when we hear the truth about where we currently stand. It's most importantly, we need to learn how to disagree with one another without burning the house down and abandoning the overall plan. So again, if that makes sense to you, then we want to work for you. Then we want to work with you, because this is an organization that are prioritizing the important agenda, which is to change the social and economic condition of black people here in America and abroad, because we do have brothers and sisters from Africa, from Canada, from UK that have been reaching out as the notoriety or the awareness of this organization has grown. So let me tell you what a group of like-minded brothers and sisters could do together. When we think about black wallets, when we say black wallets matter, it doesn't necessarily mean we spend our dollars in every instance. It could mean we could withhold them from businesses and entities that do not respect our patronage or have our best interests in mind. We are the biggest spenders in the American economy. So you can believe if we united and boycotted certain businesses or brands, we would have a major impact on the U.S. economy. And realistically, it's this type of action that we'll need to take. So just imagine if every single time one of our unarmed brothers or sisters were killed, we banded together and killed off one of their businesses or killed off one of their brands. So just let the impact of that sink in for a moment. America fully understands economics. And once we show them we understand how it works too, then they'll get the message and they'll stop messing with us. Brother William and I were talking earlier about like what's really going on in the world with these people who control the central banks, right? There's people of different ethnicities from all across the world that sit at like that council, but unfortunately, there is no black representative. We don't have an African or African American representative in that banking cabal, and we need to wisen up, because that is the true game that's really going on. They're trying to turn everyone into like what they call them, wage slaves, into consumer slaves. That is what the game is. And we are the ones, since we're at the bottom of the totem pole, we're going to feel those pressures the worst. And so, I mean, maybe we can't get to the top of the totem pole, but we definitely do not deserve to be at the bottom. And given some time, given a couple of generations, like I said, we definitely can have a representative sitting at that table working in the best interest of our people. The brother and I, we were going back and forth on whether we could opt out of that system or not. I mean, it's been in place for so long, you know, who knows what's going on, but I know definitely we need to be represented in that system, and our best interest needs to be fully represented at all times. So, like I said, that, you know, a lot of people, they have their own ideas about how to change and fix some of the problems and, you know, some of the problems that we face in our community. But this organization already has its own agenda. So with that said, we want to address the issues of black poverty, which affects over 70% of single black mothers. We want to address the issue of black unemployment, which affects us at 50% compared to 9% for white compared to 9% to white. And this recent wave of racially motivated police brutality. The reason we are focused on these issues is because of the kids. So most of you know, you will go out, you'll talk to, you know, some brothers and sisters or whatever, some adults. You won't be able to convince them with your words. They will not change until their mind is made up to change. But what we can do is we can work with the children. We can work with the babies. That is the way that this organization is really going to bring about change, because we can train them and teach them right from the beginning. So you can give instruction to a child, and if you're providing that training and that culture, then the child will grow up exhibiting those behaviors, exhibiting, you know, living out that culture. We're not going to be able to go out and talk to many young adults and older adults about what needs to be done, and then they're just magically going to make their mind, change their minds. It's not going to happen. So like we said, it's going to take a generation or two, and that's really what this organization wants to do. To take on that challenge to change the definition of what it means to be black and redefine our culture, it's going to take billions of dollars, realistically, because we want a major cultural and educational center in every major black city and even small towns. So we have brothers from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who's interested. We have people from all different places, and they're having problems with their local communities. So the way that this organization plans on raising or getting this type of money is one through this member association structure. Like I said, so we collect membership dues. We're not a nonprofit organization. We're structured as a B Corp. A B Corp is a benefit corporation. And benefit corporations are businesses that exist for the sole purpose of serving a particular group of people. So Black Wallets Matter exists for the sole purpose of conducting business to help the black community. Memberships start at $10 for the silver level, $25 at the gold level, and $50 at the platinum level. Our goal within the next 3 to 5 years is to get 1 million association members. If you are a brother and you attended the Million Man March any of those years, you felt the electricity of like 1 million brothers, 1 million souls standing in solidarity. That's the experience that we're trying to recreate. And yet this time we want to have the lasting results of that 1 million soul union. So with 1 million members, the organization would be able to generate over $300 million a year in revenue just through the membership dues. And with that kind of revenue, we could get a $1 or $2 billion loan, and then we can go and start buying large-scale businesses and manufacturing plants. We could buy supermarket chains. We can buy transportation companies. We can buy all of these really, really large businesses and employ hundreds and even thousands of our brothers and sisters. That's how we're going to create change. With the profits from these businesses, we're going to build these community resource centers. So like I said, where we're able to change the culture and redefine the culture. These community resource centers will provide educational, occupational training to help more of our brothers and sisters enter the job force and get good paying jobs. What is it called? The building trade, plumbing, electricity, welding. Had a brother call me earlier today, and he wants to help brothers and sisters learn how to install like Wi-Fi networks, do IT and stuff like that. That's a growing field. There's very low barrier to entry. If you know your stuff, they don't care if you black, white, whatever. If you know how to run that fiber optic cable, if you know how to set up a network, they will hire you. And the brother was talking about training a bunch of brothers and sisters from the inner city, and then taking them out to like where they just had all this destruction in the Florida Keys, Houston, Puerto Rico, getting these young brothers out there and earning some serious money. He says with these cleanup efforts, it's not unrealistic for them to earn between $8,000 and $10,000 a week. So, I just want to put that out there. That's the types of things that we need to do for our community. And once we start providing jobs for our brothers and sisters, once we start providing jobs for our brothers and sisters, that will give the organization more visibility. That will give the organization more influence. We would be able to provide safe places for our brothers and sisters to go instead of hanging out on the streets and getting in trouble. So, that's like the main point of change that we're going to have, within these communities with the membership dues and from these business profits. Another portion of the profits will go towards hiring lawyers and lobbyists in Washington to protect and enforce our civil rights. This will make it harder for law enforcement to kill our unarmed brothers and sisters and get away with it. Other groups in this country have successfully used these laws that were put on the books for us. They have used them to protect themselves. So it's time we start doing it. But the thing that separates us from them is they actually hire lawyers. They keep lawyers and watchdogs and advocates. They keep them on retainer. So, the Enforcement Act of 1870. That was put on the books specifically to protect people of color from law enforcement. But because we do not constantly, you know, deploy money into legal services, or because we don't constantly support lobbyists and play the game the way the game is played, they're just like glossing over that in the books. They're acting as if it doesn't even exist. All right. So these are very lofty goals, and it will take years of hard work to achieve. But to get the ball rolling and to have a quick win, we have set a current goal of 2,000 founding members. With the 2,000 founding members, that will allow us to create our first proof element and prove to the Black community that we are serious about what it is this organization has set forth. So we were talking about creating some of these businesses and being able to provide opportunities for some of our brothers and sisters, and that is still on the agenda. But most recently, a lot of members have joined together to form what's called to form these local chapters. We're calling it the Ambassadorship Program. So the current members that we have, which is about 400, they're not waiting. We're not sitting around saying, hey, let's wait until we get the next 1,600 members in. We're saying, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work right now. So there are many brothers and sisters who want to create change in their community. And, you know, being a member of Black Wallets Matter will allow them to have the resources to network and find other like-minded individuals in their local area. It will allow them to move forward in a structured manner. And then if someone, let's say, so we have right now, we have people in Cincinnati, Detroit, L.A., then, you know, if you guys were on the call earlier, so we have brothers from Indianapolis who, you know, they seem like they have the beginning of their ambassadorship board. These are just different places all across the country. And I'm sure all you guys have seen, you know, some of the other places that we have listed on there. If you are interested in creating change in your local community and you want to work with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters, then come aboard as a founding member, because that is, you know, that's the gateway to becoming an ambassador. We have certain requirements for becoming an ambassador, but if you do not meet the business requirements or some of the things, you still can become an ambassador, and you can be an organizer or a supporter or something else. Maybe you have a large network and you can get a few people together. I was speaking with Sister Constance earlier, and she said she actually has debate parties. So basically, she getting a bunch of Black folks together to argue, and you know we love to do that. And that's a great way to organize people, to get them there and sit there and discuss what, you know, your differences, but discuss them in an intelligent manner. That's what we're trying to do. All right. So again, like I said, this is a membership organization. If you want to come on board, if you like anything that you've heard tonight, then we welcome you on. We welcome you to join us. For those who are worried about how the finances are managed, we offer full financial transparency. You can, when you become a member, you can log in and you can look at the financial reports, see exactly how much money the organization takes in, see exactly how it's spent, look at where we currently stand. Right now, I'm the chief cook and bottle washer of the organization. So, you know, people who call in or, you know, send emails, I'm the one answering the calls. I'm the one answering the emails, but we are looking for people who have skills. So if you're like tech savvy and you can help with any of the website administration, if you are a writer or something like that, just know I'm very particular about the writing though. So, you know, there's that, but we're looking for writers. We could use your help. All right. Like I said, so there's a bunch of different ways that we can fix our problems, but the bottom line is it's going to take some money. If you are a person that is offended by the idea of Black folks raising money, using money for any other purposes than shopping or whatever, then this is not the organization for you, because we are a group of people who are trying to take our money and use it to build something for the future. This is not about self-enrichment. This is not about any one or single group of people getting rich on the backs of someone else. This is about us pooling our resources and building something to leave a legacy, building something for future generations. Like Brother William and I was talking earlier, again, the biggest problem that we have, the reason why, you know, this is speculation, but the biggest reason we think that we don't cooperate and do these types of things for one another is because we don't have examples. We didn't grow up where people were doing things selflessly. you know, we many of us grew up, you know, in the after effects of the crack epidemic, and that really caused a lot of the people in our community to become leery of each other, and you know, more of, you know, I got to do for self and not worry about anybody else. It's that we're not going to get anywhere as a people that way. We have to come together and we have to build something for the benefit of us all. Then, as the future generations, as they grow up and they become the beneficiaries of that system, that will become part of the culture. It will be, oh, okay, cool, you know what? We grow up, we benefit from this system, and now we have to recontribute to that system. That's how they do it in the Jewish community. They send them to yeshiva school or whatever it is. Then they have their bar mitzvah, the bat mitzvah. The whole family comes and just gives them tons and tons of money. But they have been taught and structured what to do with that money, create opportunities for them, for their family, and then offer an opportunity for someone else's family. That's and they also even give no interest loans, I believe. So you can go to the synagogue, get a loan, no interest, and I think even if you can't pay it back on in a timely manner, at some point in time you have to pay it forward. That's a great financial culture. And it has to start with us if we want to change things. It's only going to be a few of us that truly understand what needs to be done. And it probably will be even fewer of us that will actually, that will take action. So if you are sick and tired, like I said, and you are motivated to do something and you actually want change, join us. You know, come on board. We're building this thing. Right. So we may not be, so we haven't had, we don't have everything figured out. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have previous experience. If you do, come aboard, give us the input, help us build this thing so that we can leave a legacy, not for just your children, but my children and Brother George and Brother Clyde and Sister Tegan and Sister Florence, for everyone's children. All right. I am going to put the call in Q&A mode. If you have any questions about anything that I just mentioned, then you can press star 6 and get in the queue, and I will address your question. If no one has any questions, then we will have the open discussion for the evening. Brother Philip. Okay. Yes, brother.
Yeah, well, I haven't been here to these town meetings in a while. I went to one or two in the beginning, and then I took maybe 4 or 5 months sort of sabbatical because I had to take care of some business. But I've been faithfully paying my dues, you know. I am one of the founding members. And, you know, I've been trying to keep track of you through email and stuff like that. But my question is, I just noticed, I just happened to, you know, read through the email and see where you're starting to start chapters. How's that going? Have you started any chapters actually in, like, Atlanta? I'm in Atlanta right now.
Right. So, like I said, so we have Detroit already started forming their administrative board. They've met a few times. Cincinnati, let's see, is what I said, Detroit, Cincinnati. We had some brothers, and we had a brother and a sister from upstate New York. They met, they tried to link together. It's moving along. But it's a process though. We had a sister from Houston link up with someone else. You kind of have to form your board first. You have to have, right, because the way these things operate, it's going to be a lot of administrative stuff. It's a lot of, you know, a lot of oversight or whatever. So we have quite a few people who have met together, who have, I'm putting people in touch, but, you know, we don't have it, like, fully fleshed out yet.
Yeah, I believe I saw something in my email about a guidelines or something like that. Is that for me to try to read and see what?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you don't know anybody, you know, in Atlanta that's doing anything yet, or what?
We had a sister and a brother that were doing something in Atlanta, but I haven't heard from either of them in a few weeks. So, you guys are really deep in Atlanta though. So Atlanta is not a problem. I just haven't had anyone had anyone else said they want to, spearhead that chapter.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna see what I can make some contacts with some people. If you can, man, email me somebody that you might know I can talk to.
Okay, cool, no problem.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Okay, so hold on. We have someone here from 404-293. Your first name, please, caller. 404-293. Your first name. Wait a minute, what's going on here? We had a few people come in and doesn't want to cooperate. Well, Brother Phil, that was someone. Okay, the caller from 404-293. Your first name, please. This should be someone from Atlanta. Caller from 404-293. Your first name. Okay, caller, if we can't get your name, we're going to have to drop you from the call. We want to know who we're on the line with. Okay. Caller from 217, your first name, please. Caller
Sam.
From 217. I'm sorry?
Sam.
Okay, Brother Sam. Brother Sam. All right. And caller from 313 area code. Your first name, please. Caller from 313. Your first name, please. Okay. And they left. Okay, Sister Danny B. Your first name. You are in Atlanta, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, excellent. So, what do you have a question for me, sister?
Well, I called. I wanted to know about the thing in Atlanta because I'm in Atlanta, and the guy that you talked to the first time. Some of the questions that he asked. It's the same thing that I wanted to find out more about in Atlanta.
Okay.
I need to become a member. I'm not a member yet.
Okay. So if you want to be an ambassador, then you would become a founding member. And then you would work together with the brother there. So there's guidelines there's guidelines available that we talk about. I would work with your group to help you guys, flesh out some of the things that you need to do in terms of getting your chapter set up. So if you want to do that, then that's fine. If not, then once the chapter is established, then we will use our network to invite people from the area to invite them to the chapter, so then that way they would be able to meet their ambassadors in their local areas. And then if they decide to become members that way, then that's what they would do or whatever.
Okay, so how do I find out about all these guidelines?
The guidelines, when you become a member in your member's area, there is a download. It says the ambassadorship guide. And then when we have our members only meetings, we'll discuss it, we'll go over it.
So I'm wondering, the first guy that you talked to, I wonder where he is in Atlanta. I wonder how far away is he.
I don't know. I don't know, but
okay,
I can.
Okay, okay. I see. You can't give out.
I'm not gonna give out his personal information on this call, but I can, you know, I'll put him in touch with you behind the scenes.
Okay, okay, you could do that then.
Okay,
you
no
could
problem.
Do that.
Thank you. All right.
Do that.
Okay, sister, thank you. Sister Florence.
Hello, Brother Lou. I just had a question. I know that this group is for to empower, especially our young people, and we're the start of it. However, I was just wondering if there was a website where we could also try to keep the money within the Black community, and was there a website that had a list of Black-owned businesses or a website that was going to be in the future created like that?
There are tons of directories with Black businesses. So if that's what you mean, are you saying in terms of Black Wallets Matter creating one?
Yes, in terms of Black Wallets Matter.
Well, we have our own directory with people who are members who have businesses. We don't have a lot of people who express interest in that. In terms of other people or other businesses, so we have the directory. We've had about maybe 10 inquiries, not even maybe like 9, and since it's been up. So there aren't very many. In terms of, I think like WeBuyBlack.com or something like that, I think like those types of sites have those types of listings.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Brother Jonell.
Hey, hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Jonell. This is my first call in. First off, I just want to say I really appreciate this forum. This is something that's been much needed for many, many years. To see it coming to life is a good thing. I'm currently interested in your Detroit branch. I'm from Oakland, California originally, but I moved to Detroit, Michigan about a year ago to take advantage of like the extreme real estate opportunities that are there. And also to kind of curb some of the gentrification because I saw it happen in my city just so fast. And to see it happen to Detroit would just be a terrible thing. So once again, I appreciate everyone here. I'm really looking forward to working with anyone and everyone in the Detroit area as well as across the country. Not only am I interested in real estate, which I have a slight background in, I'd love to learn more. I also teach CDL. So anybody who's interested or knows anyone that's interested in learning a trade that can actually get you paid right now, it's something that I really enjoy teaching to my brothers and sisters because it changed my life. It afforded me a lot of opportunities. And along the lines of the workforce development that we spoke about earlier in your introduction, it's a great opportunity to introduce yourself to an industry that is pretty much nonstop income right now, and the opportunities are immense.
I'm glad you said that because that is something that we have been discussing. We've been discussing that for months, trying to just pull some of these young guys off the street, man, help them get their CDLs, man, and put them on the road and let them go see the country and get out of trouble.
Right.
I think that's excellent. So I would definitely love to talk with you behind the scenes and see how something like that would be structured. We have a few brothers that are in the trucking industry too. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's always great to collaborate with like minds. I sent the email to the reply. A reply to the email earlier with my information. I run with a 510 area code because, like I said, I'm from California originally, but I now reside in Detroit, Michigan, the 313. And I'm looking forward to working with you guys in the future. Not a member yet, but I'm seriously considering after this first call. Thanks.
All right, no problem, brother.
Peace.
All right.
Peace.
Brother John R. Brother John.
Good evening, everyone. Brother John, excuse me. I reside in Lynette, Alabama. And what's special about Lynette, Alabama, it's the gateway city to Alabama off of Interstate 85. So I'm in a very special area because I'm literally halfway between Atlanta and halfway between Montgomery. In this area, we have a lot of car, we have one major car manufacturer, which is the Kia plant. We have 10 supplier plants within a 20-mile radius that are bordering the Alabama and Georgia border. I am very interested in your material. I've done some preliminary reading. I like what I'm hearing so far, and I definitely want to look into an ambassador program and finding out more about that once becoming a member. Because, again, this area is very rich for new development. There's a lot of disposable income because of these plant jobs that a lot of our young brothers have down here. And as I always try to talk to them when I'm speaking to them, instead of just spending it wastefully, they need to learn how to start to invest in this area. We're about 30 minutes from Columbus, Georgia, in Phoenix City. So it's called the Greater Valley Area. So I'm just happy to check in. I want to listen a little bit more, but I'm definitely very, very much considering becoming a member as well. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Thank you, brother. Brother Antoine. Hello, Brother Antoine. Hello? Brother, your phone is breaking up. You just muted your own phone, brother.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. My name is Antoine. Good evening, everybody. And my question is very simple. Give you all a little bit about myself. I'm 27, but I have extreme access to a lot of people in the D.C. area. I'm talking about people from the highest level in defense and government down to people working at Verizon. I have access to several business owners. I'm actually meeting up with them every month. I only deal with black people. I do not step outside my race. I do not like to do business outside my race. So I'm a big supporter of our people. My question is, how can I get in contact with the people that in the chapter in this area, if that chapter is there? And if so, how can I get them? Well, I need to contact them. Basically, I would like to just expose them to some of the people I have access to, maybe put up some type of presentation, and I'm pretty sure I can generate a lot of momentum here in the D.C. area. I just need, I just need access to some people that's in this area, and we can come together and brainstorm, and then we can push this a little bit more to some more like-minded people.
Okay. So, all right, are you a member or no?
I'm not a member yet. I'm interested in becoming a member, but I would definitely like to speak to some people face-to-face first to see what exactly was going on. And
okay,
yeah,
okay. So D.C. chapter is not yet formed. People have expressed interest, but it's not yet formed. So
if you all need somebody to take lead in that, I am more than welcome to do that. I mean, if that requires becoming a member, that's fine and dandy. But, yeah, I don't have a problem taking lead in that if it hasn't been started.
Right. Well, right. So the first requirement, obviously, you would become a member, because how would you tell someone about an organization, you know, or become a member that you're not part of? So
exactly.
But we do have people who are in the D.C. area. I've had two members reach out to me and say they were interested, but they never got back to me and they never met up.
What level of membership is required to be able to start?
You come in at whichever level you are financially comfortable, because
okay.
Members at different levels can bring different things to the table. So a lot of people, they want to come in and they want to dip their toe into, you know, they want to just see what this organization is about. This organization started about 7 months ago from like a big fat zero. Our first call, I think there were about 8 people on the call, and you know, and we basically put this thing together through perseverance. We have grown a lot, we have evolved a lot, and like we're saying, you know, some of these other areas that we're developing our country where you know, we don't know what we don't know. You know, building these individual chapters and things like that, there's going to be things that arise that you guys may find out is applicable, or something in D.C. that someone else in another part of the country would be able to use or maybe not use. We just don't know at this time. But if you have experience, when you become a member, you can download the ambassadorship guidelines. There are requirements in terms of becoming an administrator of a chapter as opposed to just being an ambassador. So, you know, so the first step would be for you to become a member.
From that information, not look over it, and
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're kind of like breaking up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just turned my car on. Yes, is there a way you can send me that information in the email? I can look over it, and then I can go from there. I kind of have to go now.
Well, it's in the midst. It's basically information for our members. So it's certain information is we keep it within the members area. But I can give you an outline of what it entails.
Okay. Is there any way you can put me in contact with a member in this area?
I believe I can.
That would be an awesome start.
Okay, brother. Yep.
All right, that's the only question I have. Sadly, I have to leave you guys this evening, but I wish everybody the best, and you know, stay positive.
Okay, same to you. Okay. Brother Harold.
Okay, hold on, y'all.
I'm sorry?
Hello, Brother Lee.
Peace, how you
doing? Hello?
Yes.
All right, how you doing, John? Yeah, I can hear you. Yes, sir, the question that I have, I want to say hi to my brothers and sisters, and pray for all, and I do go, got a question. Do you have anybody down here in Dallas that I can hook up with?
You asked me that. I sent out an email to someone, but they haven't gotten back to me yet. So I do. That's why I added Dallas to the list. I think there were two people that expressed interest, but they didn't get back to me.
Oh, okay, Dad. And then another question that I want to ask you, I was willing to look at some land. I'm going to try to buy some land. I think we're running out of room here in Dallas because it's a lot of Mexicans and white people and Indian folks buying up all the land and stuff. Because I want to put up a business. But I saw a couple of vacant buildings and stuff that I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But that I'm looking at, I want to see how does that work. Do y'all do this organization help with that, or get into a building or something, business?
A few weeks back, sent the email with Sister Shauna's contact information, and she could help with funding for businesses and things like that. You have to meet like certain requirements. So I don't know what your financial position is, but if you meet like the requirements or whatever, she can definitely help you get funding for some of your business activities. I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link to contact her in an email.
Okay. If there's any way you can give me those people that you that's here in Dallas, could you give me their information too?
So I reached out to them. They just said it, but they haven't responded back. So I'm not going to give someone's personal information until they give me the okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
right. Yeah. So they didn't reply back when I said, you know. All right.
Yes, sir. And then I'm looking to leave this thing on, just becoming an ambassador. Okay.
Right. I'm gonna
read that information. And I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Brother Ben. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I came in late, so I didn't know if I missed anything. I was getting... So,
Your phone's good. Hello? Your phone's breaking up, brother.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can.
All right. No, I was just calling, tapping in because I had came in late. Like I said, we about to open up this second location, so I've been busy and I've lost track of time. But I didn't know of any questions or whatever came out of the way for the L.A. area.
No, but I did mention, I let them know that, you know, the L.A. is pretty much,
yeah.
You guys.
And I also spoke with Mercedes as well. I didn't know if she was on the call or not. But I haven't heard back from the Kokoya yet.
Okay, this is all right. She'll get back in touch with you. All right.
All right. And I guess I got a meeting planned over here tomorrow with her, Mercedes. But I'll fill you in on details with that.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, no problem. I'm going to have to get off here shortly. What I'll do is I email and text you because I'm about to close down the restaurant right now, and I'll call you, text you afterwards.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you.
Sister Tegan.
Hello, Brother Lou. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Good. I want to say that I am completely inspired after, well, because of tonight's call. I'm super inspired, but I do have a question for you. How am I able to... Well, let me kind of give you a quick breakdown. So once a week, I pretty much go to local shelters, and I feed the homeless. But I specifically focus on black people only. So, no, I know. It's just, it's, I do. So,
oh, that's
no, and I do. So my question is, I'm actually also in the process of trying to open up my own business for specifically for black people. But the struggle that I am encountering is because I'm being viewed as that I'm being biased. How am I able to do this? It's just specifically for my people without creating any, I guess, conflict or because I'm relying on funding. I'm relying on government funding. But it's
use a minority designation for minority businesses. So if you look at is it 8A or something like that? Or if you look at the SBA guidelines and you look at
SBA,
if you look at the SBA and you look at the designation that they have, and I think it's 8A, I'm not mistaken. For minority businesses, use that designation. So you are a minority-owned business that is serving the minority community. That's the blanket that you're going to have to say minority, and then that will allow you to start prioritizing your people. So if you look in the Latino community, they'll do the same thing. They'll say it's a minority business or whatever it is, but then they'll have everything written in Spanish and all that other stuff just to let them, you know, just to let us know, you know, this is, you know, no entry or whatever, however you say that. So that's kind of how you can do it. That's just like one way. But you can't just blatantly go out and slap a black only on there.
Because what's... My biggest concern is mental illness in the black community, which is not addressed. It's taboo in our community. So I just kind of want to focus on mental health and strengthening. So you've helped me a lot with that information. So thank you so much.
All right, no problem. Okay, so now we have Brother John. Brother John. Hello? Okay, Brother John is gone. Brother Jeff.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, how you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm good. Listen, I want to say hi to everyone, and I really appreciate this forum. I'm Jeff out of Dayton, Ohio, and I did hear that you've got a chapter down in Cincinnati.
They are forming. Yes, they are.
Okay. I'm interested in becoming a member, and if you would like to put me in contact with those folks, that would be encouraging because I'd like to start a chapter here in the Dayton area.
Okay. Well, what would have to happen is when you become a member, you give me, I'll put it on the list, so there's that list that's going in, and then we would find whoever else is in your area. because you need to, I think I'm going to have to go over how this chapter, I'm going to go over this. We've been having, been talking about this the last couple of weeks. I'm going to go over, like, some of the guidelines, some of the, you know, the outline of how it works, because so we're not just allowing anyone to just get together and say, hey, we're forming a chapter of Black Wallets Matter. We want to make sure that these chapters are executed within certain guidelines, make sure that it's representing this organization properly, making sure that there is a definite plan. One of the other biggest things, we don't want to have a bunch of people just getting together, just pontificating about what we could and should do without a clear line to how to address certain issues or problems in their community. So the guidelines that we provide, you know, it allows members to kind of, you have to like start at the ground floor. So you have to form your administrative board, and that consists of four people. The reason why it's structured like that is because this organization, and so if you haven't watched the blueprint, we prioritize revenue generating activity. We are not, we're not like a nonprofit. We're not one of these organizations that are saying, hey, you know what, we want to raise money, we want to raise charity, and then we're able to start our program, and then next year we aren't able to fund that program because people have pulled away the funding. So one of the main things that the chapter would be tasked with doing is, one, recruiting more members so that they can have that revenue, so that they can have that membership base, and then using those membership dues to implement some types of local businesses or something to generate revenue, preferably a business that will allow, that will employ the young men and women in their area. One of the other things is to try to become a resource for jobs in the local area. So even though, you know, I know people, they're excited and they want to do this, there are certain things that must be done while setting up the chapter, because we're trying to actually make a change in the community, but also have an impact on a national level. So if Black Wallets Matter, Cincinnati and Dayton, and we have people who are in Cleveland. So let's just say if people saw, you know, they need jobs in Ohio, and then they're able to find out what's going on at one of these particular chapters, then that raises the visibility of Black Wallets Matter in Ohio, and it becomes known as a place that's actually doing something to the community, doing something for the community, as a way of helping people find jobs. Just that simple. And if we don't do one other thing, that is an excellent thing to be known for.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So those are the things that we're prioritizing. The other thing, so people, you know, want to come on board, you have to be a founding member first before you become an ambassador, because one of the main things is you're going to have to recruit, you're going to have to bring people on board. So like a meeting with the group for Cincinnati, we're going to meet Saturday on a conference call. I want to make sure that your board or the members of your chapter make sure that you guys fully understand what Black Wallets Matter is about, fully internalize what the blueprint is about and what our mission is, because when people ask you questions, you know, I want to make sure that you guys are able to answer these questions accurately. I want to make sure that you guys are, you know, that you don't get stumbled. Our people are very skittish. They're going to have doubt about some things anyway. So you want to make sure that you're able to be confident and understand what it is that you're representing. And then the other thing is, so people have different ideas of, you know, like I said, they have different ways to address problems. If the problems that you are addressing and the way that you want to address them are within the parameters of what Black Wallets Matter is about, then by all means, then, you know, you have that latitude. But if you want to come up with something like just way out of the way, that's not like, so perfect example. So Sister Tegan just says she wants to address mental health issues. That is not a priority of Black Wallets Matter. So we wouldn't say, okay, you know what, we're going to go and take all of these resources to address that particular issue. That's not what we're about trying. We're about the economic empowerment of our people, because that is the basis of every single thing. Every single initiative that you're going to want to launch in your community is going to need a source of funding. And I think that's like one of the biggest problems that, like, as I was structuring the blueprint, as I was doing research on different types of organizations, as I was studying other ethnic groups and how they're successful, and why some of our programs aren't, they have prioritized a sustainable source of funding from the gate. That would, their thing was built on that. Some of these Jewish organizations, they get the donation money, and then they put the donation money into like businesses, or they invest the money and they use the interest from the profits. They use that to fund their organization.
Right.
And that's a wise use of the resources. That's a wise use of funds. And I notice it's over and over and over. All of these organizations, they do the same thing over and over. And I'm sitting down and I'm looking at our organizations and I'm like, well, where is ours? Why aren't we copying this? Like, the blueprint is in front of us. Why is no one doing this? So
where was that young lady from?
She's from D.C.
Okay. Yeah, they should have a minority health district. It's probably through the county level, like we have one here in our county, Minority Health District. And in terms of her being able to type or getting access, MBDA.gov is the minority. And plus, from the SBA, that's good, but she's a WBE. And when she goes after the WBE, becoming certified in her state and in her city, that will give her access to what she needs. So yeah, I'm really enjoying the forum, because then I'm looking to network and launch, become a member, of course, but launch my new release on a number of innovative products that is being introduced into the market.
Well, that right there is also an additional benefit of this organization. The networking aspect of it is insane. I mean, the past couple of weeks we've been able to put people in touch with other people, to do things that, you know, they weren't able to find people within their local networks or within their local communities to help them with this. So that's also another benefit. Especially if you're trying to get something off the ground and you're like, well, how do I do that? It's right. Easy to reach out to our network and say, hey, does anyone know how to run a food truck? Or does anyone know how to apply for an SBA loan? There's chances that there's someone within our group that does it. I was on the phone earlier with a brother. He made a way how to generate electricity from like the air. It was crazy. He has like this weird contraption thing, and it compresses and it creates air. Like, that's the kind of ingenuity we have amongst these people here within Black Wallets Matter. And I have people calling me every day. I mean, some of the calls are a little off the wall, but a lot of the calls are people who are doing some big things. And I just need to figure out a way to harness that and make, you know, just let people, hey, listen, what can you do? What's available? Who are you looking to network with? And, you know, we have something like that where people are able to work with each other and grow, because that's really, really what it's going to take. I just have my to-do list is just, you know, so long, and the things that I'm prioritizing, but allowing the members to be able to network with one another and help one another is definitely a major benefit. You can meet people from clear across the country, and they can help you out. And it's like, and they're willing and they're open, because they're looking, because people, you know, us, we get something good, we want to share it with the people, but it's like the people who may be in our immediate circle, they may not be receptive to that information. Well, you know what? Right. You got a brother in Tuscaloosa. He might be receptive. The other brother, like he was saying, was going down over there where they're building the car factories and stuff. In the back of my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, like, that's an opportunity for somebody. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know how, but that's an opportunity. So it's just a matter of, like I said, man, we're building this thing out, and I think really that networking ability is one of the major one of the major facets that I really need to flesh out. You know, so I have it on my to-do list. But, you know,
good
I have
to Brother Lou.
Sorry?
I'm enjoying. Yeah, I count me in there, Brother Lou.
Okay, great. Great, brother. I appreciate it. And then here's the brother again, Brother John. Okay, is there anything you want to add in summary?
You still talking to me?
Yes, yes. Is there anything you want to add in summary?
I'm looking forward to the next meeting and looking forward to networking across the United States. Yes.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. Brother John.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that earlier. Hit the wrong button. Two more things. One, I just want to let everybody know that I do signs, banners, T-shirts, very familiar with branding. The second thing is this. I understand that you have your membership, but what I want to know is this. With your different membership levels, does that give you, the higher the level, give you more information or more material, or does you get the same information irregardless of the amount that on the amount level
yeah,
of
yeah yeah it, it, yeah so what we so initially what we were initially what we were going to do was create perks for the different membership levels. The perks that we wanted to create were based on like 2,000 well based actually based on 5,000 members. We don't have the 5,000 members yet, so all of the founder members will have someone who's a silver member who will roll up their sleeves, bend over backwards for the organization. So what I'm realizing is that people are doing whatever they are financially capable of doing. Some people are just testing us out. There's a number of members who have come in at the silver level and who have upgraded to platinum or gold and things like that when they were comfortable with the way how we're doing. I almost speak to every single person. Usually like on a one-on-one conversation, a lot of times that's them becoming more comfortable with me. I understand how that is. Is a lot of times it's people becoming members, logging into the members area, looking over the financials, going, oh, okay. And then, you know, and then they'll upgrade from there because it's like, oh, all right. So it's not like, you know, they got some crazy mad scheme going on. There's, you know, a lot of people are probably under the impression that I don't know how much money they think is flowing through this thing, but it's not like that. Those are some of the things that allow, you know, that causes people to join at certain different membership levels. But right now there is no incentive. And the reason why is because, like I said, I'll be working with a silver member and they'll be putting in way more work, more time, helping me actually create certain things. And, you know, someone will be at the platinum level and they're like, listen, I'm really busy in my life, but, you know, contributing financially is the best that I can do. So.
Okay. And then let me ask you this and then I'll be done. At what level are you considered to be eligible to be an ambassador or a founding member for a chapter?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what level. The ambassador program has that you have an administrative board. So you have a president, vice president, secretary, and a treasurer. There are requirements to be a board member, and your chapter can't really move. Your chapter is not really considered established until you have your board in place. But if you're an ambassador and you have a network, you're able to bring together, so you can still be an ambassador, you can bring together people, and you can try to form your board that way. But you wouldn't be doing any business, or you wouldn't be doing any of the, like, it's all broken down step by step by step, and you wouldn't be moving on to any of the additional steps until you have, like, that first part done. And the reason why is because the president, obviously, is the person who's going to have the vision of what's going to be done. But they're also going to be the person that would be talking with me on a regular basis. And if you don't understand business or how these things work, then you cannot be the president because we're not going to be talking the same language. The
Correct.
Vice president would be helping the vice president would be helping the president. So they would be the one who's more in a managerial position. They're able to kind of direct things and push things and get things done. then there's a secretary for obvious reasons, right? There's going to be clerical things that need to be done within the organization. Notes may need to be taken and all of this other stuff. And then there's a treasurer because someone needs to manage the finances of the organization. So the presidential role and the treasurer role, you have to have prior business experience. If you don't have prior business experience, then you cannot be in either of those places. While you're bringing in people or you're speaking to people, you would recruit them at the national level. But realistically, you should be looking to establish your local board. You should be looking to find someone that you know that has business experience in your local area and say, hey, listen, I want you to check this out, and then I want you to come on board. And, you know, that's how we would establish that.
I got it. I'm good for now. I won't have any more questions. I'm definitely going to get back to your website and look at the additional information as well from there.
Okay, right. So if there's anyone who is not yet a member, if you are interested in becoming a member or you are interested in becoming an ambassador, you can go to the website, blackwalletsmatter.org. You can click the menu button, and there is a link that says become a member. When you become a member in the depending on if you're on your computer or on your phone, you'll see a link for the ambassadorship program guidelines. It says, please read this first. You can go over that and look at it, step by step. If you have any questions about that, then you can call me. If you have any suggestions, something that I missed, then I will update the guidelines. Because, again, like I said, it's, you know, we're in the process of doing this thing. All right. Thank you. Does anyone else have a question? Real quick, because the brother just brought that idea up, and, you know, I keep forgetting to mention this networking. If anyone has a skill or a service or something that they want to network with people with, press star 6, let us know what you got. What you do and what you got. Wait a minute, what's going on here? So I'll start. So I have a web design and digital marketing firm. So if anyone on the call needs a website developed, they can give me a call and I could help them develop a website. If they have a business and they are looking for more exposure online or are thinking of bringing their business online, then you can give me a call and I can help you with that. I usually don't like to deal with startups because these are kind of like advanced ideas when you start talking about, you know, your marketing and things like that. But for my brothers and sisters, I will help. Okay, so we have two people in the queue real quick. Hold on, we have a few more people that joined the call. Let me get their first names. Caller from 662 area code, your first name, please. Caller from 662 area code. Your first name, please.
Hello?
I'm sorry?
Hello?
Yes, sister. Your first name?
Adriana.
Adriana. Okay, sister. Sister Adri. Thank you, sister.
I was just wanting to know what the program was all about. I mean, I just got an email, and
okay.
I just wanted to know more about it.
Right. We just went over. We've been on for about an hour going over. Did you get on? You got on a call late?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, we were going over. So if you've been getting the emails, you know that there's a link. It says watch the blueprint. You can go to the website. You can click the link, it says blueprint. That's basically what we were discussing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Caller from 310 area code, your first name, please. 310-999, your first name, please. Caller from 310-999. Caller, if we can't get your first name, we're going to have to drop you from the call.
Hello, my name is Morgan.
Morgan. Okay, hold on, Sister Morgan. All right, thank you, Sister.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, and that is pretty much it. Okay, Brother Harold, you are live, brother.
Hey, Brother Lou, this is Brother Harold again. Hey, I heard you say if you anybody that have a skill or trade, I have a skill or trade. I have a air conditioning heating skills. Me and my pastor, mm-hmm. we work together. The pastor, he gonna join in. He gonna become a member. He gonna join tomorrow.
Oh, sounds excellent. Sounds excellent. Okay. And so, is that something that you guys would be able to teach to the young brothers down there?
Yes, sir. We get ready to open up.
Or even take them in as an apprentice.
Yes, sir. We finna get ready to open up a school. That's where okay. I hear you haven't got there. Yeah, we finna open up a school. I believe it'll be like in March of next year when they finna get ready to get hot. And we finna open up a school so we can teach. We can't teach in air conditioning heat. We also work on our commercial stoves and refrigerators. We work at restaurant equipment, so we'll be able to teach all the students that.
Okay. And you know what? The sister from Texas, Sister Kim, is on the line. Hold on. Sister Kim.
Hey, good evening, Brother Lou. How you doing?
How you doing? Okay, so sister, remember I told you there's a brother in Texas that was interested in linking up for the ambassadorship program?
Okay.
All right, so is it all right for me to give the brother your number or vice versa?
It's sure. Yes, sir. Okay. Let me cut you off.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thank you, sister. I just wanted to get clarification first.
All righty, I appreciate you.
Yep, all right, bye. All right, brother, Brother Harold, I'll text you her information in a few minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Lou.
Yep. Brother William.
Brother Lou?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Brother Hearn in Indianapolis area. I heard you say if anybody had a skill or anything. I'm a retired real estate broker, and I would mm-hmm. certainly be willing to mentor young men, young women, in the real estate field. The requirements are pretty simple. 18 or over, high school diploma, and no record. And basically, I could help them, learn the in and out of the real estate law and help them get their licenses and establish their own business. And that's something I'm
really
willing to do. So, yeah.
So, and establish their own brokerage?
Absolutely.
Sweet. See, this is what I'm talking about. That's a beautiful thing. All right, cool. We'll talk about that behind the scenes. That's excellent. And what about real estate investing?
There's real estate investment as well. Now, real estate investments, you don't necessarily want to have a real estate license to do investment, because when you have a license,
I know.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I could show them some ins and outs as that as well. But when we're talking about getting young men and women, on a career path or employment or a trade where they're not going to be restricted, that's one of the opportunities that's out there. If you learn how to network, you get your license and learn how to network and do things, you're an independent person, And that's a good start for a young person.
Excellent. Thank you so much, brother.
Okay.
All right. Brother Ty, what's going on, brother? Brother Ty. Hello? Can't hear you, brother.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you now.
All right, great. I just wanted to get the information from the previous brother that just spoke about the real estate information. I'd like to get that after the call. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Sweet. Let me see. Sister Leah.
Hello?
How you doing, sister?
I'm doing wonderful. I hope everyone else is as well. I'm a member of Black Wallace Matter and have been for several months. But I knew my schedule wasn't going to allow me to participate as I wanted to, but I at least wanted to be a paid member. So I haven't been on the call in several weeks, but I'm glad to be here tonight. And I was completely intrigued by the gentleman that just spoke about real estate and apprenticeship in that area. I'm happy where I am financially, but that has been a goal and a dream to start pursuing that. So I wanted to know what city he was in. I missed that part.
Indianapolis.
Do you recall? Indianapolis.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That helps me. That's not close to me. However, that information helps me.
Let's find out. Okay, I'm sure there's a few people who would be interested. Let me find out if that could be something that could be done nationwide. Brother Hearn.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Is that something that could be done, is it applicable, across nationwide, or is it just for Indianapolis?
No.
Like the rudiments of it.
The rudiments of it's applicable nationwide. You know, every state has their own set of laws and things like that. But the rudiments of learning the real estate trade is pretty much applicable. I've been licensed in Georgia as well as Indiana, so the rudiments of it are basically the same.
Okay.
So, if a person was in another state and wanted to get started, then I could work with them over the telephone, just helping them to understand the rudiments of it. If they had questions about before they were preparing for an exam or something like that to get their license, after they got their license, they had questions about how to go about finding someone to work with to begin before they, went out on their own. I could help them with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let them know what a fair amount of money to be paying to another broker as you wait to establish your own brokerage. Just the ins and out of the business. And that's, applicable no matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're at.
All right, sounds good. All right, brother, that sounds like a training course.
That sounds like something
we're going to have to go through and create a training course, brother. All right.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
So, Sister Clarissa, how you doing?
Yes, I'm wonderful. Good evening, Brother Lou and everyone in the panel. I just wanted to ask a couple of things. One, the gentleman that stated he had the printing business where he does T-shirts, branding, I didn't catch whether or not he was an actual member. Because if so, if he's a member, I would love to give him some business.
Let me see. Where is the brother? I believe that was Brother John R. Brother John R., I think he was saying he was considering becoming a member. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But maybe he'll come up. So maybe that'll be an incentive to light a little fire under his,
Okay. And another thing, as far as getting members, I've been focusing on business owners. I don't know if that's the proper way to go about it, but I've just been focusing on people I know as far as real estate agents. I know a couple of plumbers. I know so I'm trying to get these people together and find a way to start some type of training program for younger people as well. It's in the very early stages, but just wanted to let you know I am definitely working on that. And I'm in the New York area, Long Island, Suffolk County.
Right. Sister Constance is she's in Baltimore. I think she's going to go that same route as well. We were talking about that the other day. She was saying that she would go around to some of the business owners and see if they had apprenticeships available or whatever. So, I mean, every little bit counts. We definitely want the organization to be known for making some of these changes. or making an impact and definitely improving. Something that I was thinking about, and it's in the guidelines though, is basically becoming like the jack of all trades type. You know, basically like handyman services, like, so going around to the neighborhood and offering, hey, listen, we'll paint your door, we'll move some junk, we'll do whatever it is we need to do. This is a community supported business, and you know, all of these types of things. So I was thinking we can get like some young men and women together and get them a bunch of gigs like that, and then circulate flyers that let the community know, hey, listen, you know, we want to beautify things, we want to fix things. We have some young men and women who will come around, they'll do the work for us, you know, you give us a fair price or whatever, and then, you know, keep it supported that way. Because I think that will, yeah, that would change the, that would break the inertia of the community. It would get the ball rolling and then start instilling some pride. And you know, also, like, so we want to have, like, T-shirts. So it would be great to have, you know, a bunch of young men and women out there with T-shirts and sweatshirts or whatever that have Black Wallets Matter on it, and they're actually doing good for the community, because that also raises the visibility of the organization. And, of course, you know, whoever is there for those particular chapters, make sure you get a lot of footage, video, pictures, and things like that for social media, because, you know, I want to promote the hell out of that. So that's just something to take into consideration. But thank you so much, sister, for chiming in.
Thank you.
All right. Sister Florence, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you. Well, I am an engineer. I'm a systems engineer, and I also do program management work for my job, which is mostly scheduling for the engineers and the business side. I am a business owner and a landlord. So, but as far as teaching, I help people with resumes. I help people with math if they need tutoring. Also, I write, of course, since I'm a business owner, I write business plans too.
Let me ask you a question. The systems engineer, is that like that Cisco network stuff and all of that? Is that that?
Oh, no. My systems engineer is for weapons, for a defense industry.
Holy moly for goalie. All right, sister. Go ahead and shut that up.
But I can't teach that, though.
I know. You probably can't talk about it either. All right. So,
no.
But that's fine. We had the other brother. We have two. We have, so Brother Mudok, he's in Chicago.
Okay.
He was saying if we could get these computers, these training computers, and have them learn that, you know, the routers and, you know, that network and stuff. He's like, that's just a crazy, crazy, crazy big field. It's almost like the transportation industry. Because all of these new buildings that are going up, they all need Wi-Fi. Their old businesses are always having problems with their internet service and stuff like that. So they always need, you know, an IT person. And this is something that, I mean, our brothers and sisters, they could learn this stuff. On a computer, they you know, they're on devices all day anyway. Might as well be on it and make some money. So.
Oh yeah, that's an excellent field to go into, especially for our young adults.
Yeah.
I personally don't know anything about that. My husband hooks up my computer, but I can pick it up if I wanted to learn about it. But my husband does all that stuff for me, so I can help assist in like a business plan, or help the kids with math or anything dealing with that, or the technical part, and he can do the teaching. But as far as that, I'm more of the background person. I don't do too much. And I do public speaking, but as far as business, I'm more of the background person.
224, where is that, sister?
This is Illinois.
Oh. Are you from, what is it, Elgin?
Yes.
Is that, okay, yes. You asked me, okay, so there's a, how far away is that from Rockford?
Ooh, that's an hour drive, one
and
way.
And how far is that from Chicago?
30 minutes.
Oh, okay. So you're closer to Chicago. Because we do have a sister in Rockford, and I was telling her, but I couldn't remember. But, yeah, okay. So you would be closer to the Chicago people.
Right.
All right, okay. All right, no problem. We'll figure something out.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. So basically, you're offering to help people write. You're offering to write resumes for people. All
resumes. Right, I do resumes, mock interviews, help write business plans. If you want to present to a bank or something like that to get a loan, or just present to a family member to get money for your business. So I write stuff like that. I help with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, sister.
You're welcome.
And now we have Brother Sam.
Yes, this is Brother Sam. I'm actually out of Illinois as well, but I'm more in downstate, central Illinois. My question is this, and I got on the call a little later, and I've probably been on it for about an hour, a little bit over an hour now. But as far as getting momentum for members and recruitment, has anyone really laid out a plan for, like, utilizing maybe the barbershops and the beauty salons as far as points for flyers or branding or anything like that that could lead more potential members to join by using maybe QR codes or you know, scannable things on the promotional material to have them go to the website. If you're open to that or there's an interest in that, I'd be more than happy to help in that regard.
Okay. So in the ambassadorship, in the guidelines, it does say something about, you know, using barbershops, beauty salons, but it's actually talking about using them for meeting areas. Not really for recruitment, but that is obviously a great place. In terms of the QR codes and things like that, I didn't think about using that. I thought that technology was kind of like fading out, but we definitely would have the name of the website on there, and then for each chapter would have its own dedicated like landing page or, you know, checkout page, if you will. And it would, we would put that on the flyers. But in terms of actually going full scale with it and, you know, going all out with the flyers and that type of guerrilla marketing, no, we have not discussed that. We haven't discussed it in earnest, let me just say. And we haven't employed any of that because it's, you know, for me, it's easier to market online because that's, I mean, I started two businesses on the ground, flyers, you know, under the windshields, under the doors, and all of that stuff. I just know that most people aren't really built for that, and I think it's easier when you're able to kind of give them material that could do the selling for them, and that's kind of like my intention. My intention is to give them something that they could just hand out wherever they go, and then that material would pretty much do the, you know, do the selling or the convincing for them. You know, because I don't really expect people to take off like a whole weekend or whatever and go and put one under every windshield in a parking lot or something like that. You know, that's just been my experience.
Okay. I was just kind of thinking if
if you have more ideas, we're open to everything. And if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and help, then I mean, absolutely, brother. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking, you know, you got a lot of members or a lot of potential members on the call in various areas that may be able to do some of that footwork to get it to salons or you know, barbershops or even other bookstores or businesses that cater to black population. Those might be ways to get some of the folks that haven't joined in on a call but also could eventually be members. Yeah, but I'm just listening. This is my first call, so I'm just kind of listening to what's being said and just kind of taking it all in. And I appreciate it.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, brother. That was the that was the last question for this evening, or the last comment. Does anyone else have anything they want to say? We have about 20 minutes left, and if no one has anything else to say, then I will just bring something really quick to the floor, and we will shut it down. Okay, hold on, Brother Jeff. Yes, Brother Jeff.
Yes. I just wanted to share with you that I'm authorized provider of infrared radiant heat. It actually replaces furnace boilers as we know it. In addition to that, I'm rolling out.
Wait, hold on. You said you are an authorized dealer for what? Infrared radiant heat?
That's correct.
Okay, and what is? How do you use that? What's going on with that?
Well, actually, it replaces furnaces and boilers as we know it, with no fans or motors. It's electromagnetic that pulls the healthy rays from the sun and distributes it. It heats the body. It heats objects. It keeps the floor, the windows, the walls, the ceiling at a affordable temperature with clean air.
Okay.
Most of the time you'll find those, probably the biggest users are major hospitals throughout the cities and states. You can find them in the baby room, burn room, surgery rooms, burn rooms, recovery rooms. And, it's medically health therapeutic, healthy for the body. In addition to that, I mentioned to you earlier that I'm rolling out new products, and because I, with the manufacturer, where we're rolling out e-bikes, electric bikes with the wireless electric bike charging stations.
Wireless charging, nice.
Yes, sir. So we are talking about apprenticeship training and teaching in the whole nine yards for all of these disciplines that are taking place.
And where are you located?
I'm out of Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. Okay. Right. Okay. This sounds good. All right. Well, listen, brother. We would be, more than interested in. I mean, anything that could get, some of these young men and women, out of trouble, into a career path, or anything like that. I mean, it's all great. We have a lot of brothers and sisters with some amazing talent, some amazing resources, and it's just a matter of allowing those things to come out. So, like this radiant heat thing, right? I'm sure there's a pipeline to sell this stuff, and it sounds like it's pretty expensive or whatever it is. It sounds like it's something that could generate a lot of money. So it's just a matter of, teaching our men and women the game, right? So teaching them how to generate a lead, how to close the sale, probably
right.
How to go in and install the thing. So
that's correct. And, the beauty of that is once the stuff is installed, it lasts a lifetime of any structure.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. With a minimum 50% savings off of your utility operating costs. So you can't go wrong with that, yeah.
Thank you for that piece of information, brother. Just send me an email for some more information. That's kind of cool, to be honest with you.
Send me a
just reply back to the email for this town hall notification, and let's open up a dialogue.
Let's do that. Thanks, Brother Lou.
No problem. Okay. Peace. So, brothers and sisters, like I said, so we got about 15 minutes left, and we're going to wrap this one up really quick. So, we've heard some people come on. Like I said, we have some brothers and sisters with some amazing talents, with tons and tons of experience, from throughout their lives, things that could help set people on a career path. The thing that I mentioned earlier in terms of us needing to build for the future is of utmost importance. We have to take the things that we know, the things that we've learned in our journey in life, and we have to share that with the next generation. It needs to be put in a format or in an organized manner where our young men and women, they come out of their front doors and then they have those options available instead of having the option to either pick up a gun or pick up some drugs or whatever it is that's readily available in our community. I mean, it's insane that these things, that these forces of destruction are right there when they walk out of the door. It's crazy, and there's really very few productive opportunities for them. And the only way that those opportunities are going to be present is if we put them there. You know, a lot of us, we like to talk about the great things black people achieved hundreds of years ago, 50, 60 years ago, right? But what are the black people today, what are the people in the future going to say about us, right? So what have we done that's worthy of talking about in the future? Right. So we have to wake up and we have to start taking action if we want to leave a legacy of greatness. We can leave a legacy of greatness by combining this. What we're doing is something that's great. By you saying, hey, you know what? I came together with a group of brothers and sisters from all across this country. I did not even know them. We got together and we built this for some young brothers and sisters in Atlanta, some other people in Dallas, some people over here in Chicago, some people in there. If you are able to end your days saying that you did something like that, that is greatness in and of itself. That's worthy of remark. And like I told you guys, you know, listen, I love marketing. I am, you know, I'm a marketing guy. I will promote the hell out of it. So you don't have to worry about your work going down in vain, because the world will know about it. But you just have to give them something worthy. I've done a lot of things in my life. I've made a few dollars in my life. I've lost some dollars in my life. And then it was at a point, it's like, okay, so you did all of that for what? Like, what are you really going to leave, to future generations? Like, how will they know that you were here? And we all should be thinking that way. Like, so when they're giving our eulogy or whatever it is, what are they going to be saying about us? What have you done? And I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to belittle anything that anyone has accomplished in their personal life. I'm just saying in terms of for humanity, for our race, that's really what we need to do. We really need to do something and build something for our race. And I'm totally committed to that task. There are a few other brothers and sisters that I speak to, and I know that you are fired up and you are adamant about doing the same. Sister Rhonda, Brother Cujo, Brother William, Sister Kokoya, I know that you guys are just like hell-bent on the cause the same way that I am. I just want to make sure that we're able to communicate that same passion, that same fire to everyone else, and let them, and guys understand that we don't have an example of selflessness. We don't have an example of our people saying, you know what, I'm doing this for you, and here, you enjoy. You use it to build yourself up. That's why we don't do it. We weren't taught to do it. And that's what we're trying to do right now. And we may stumble around because we haven't done it before. There's a man, so prior to launching this, like, a lot of you guys, you'll talk to me, I like to say success leaves clues. I like to model success. There's a gentleman by the name of Leon Sullivan. He had what was called a 1036 plan. He was out of Philadelphia. I am modeling this based on that idea. So, I mean, things were so much cheaper back then. But he had memberships. They were like $10. They were able to pool their money by shopping malls, by apartment buildings, all these different things they were able to do. And then from the money that they raised, from the money that they generated through those business ventures, he created this program called OIC, Organizational Industrialization Corporation, or something like that. But that entity is still in existence today. It is training men and women in Philadelphia and a bunch of other places in this country And it was started by a black man who created a organization to leave a legacy. That's essentially what we're trying to do. Now, because he wanted to take government money and things like that, and you know, so he had to change the designation from black to minority, but that's what we're modeling. So there is something that exists, and it is successful. One of the things that he realized, so he started with a boycott. I think it was like Tasty Cakes or whatever it was. They weren't employing any black drivers back then. So he had the black community boycott Tasty Cake. So then he finally, they finally relented and started hiring, black people. But then they were showing up drunk, and they would drive, they were coming late, you know, stealing money, things like that. And he realized that he had to rebuild the whole man. So he didn't give up on his brothers and sisters. I think he apologized to the Tasty Cakes people and said, "We're not ready yet, but hey, keep those jobs for us, because I'm going to make these men and women worthy of these jobs." And he had like this feeder program, and he built them up, taught them about grooming, remedial reading and writing, proper presentation at the job, you know, how to dress, grooming, and things like that. He built up the whole man, and then he put them into the workforce. He put them into the job training. They built the seat belts or something, if I'm not mistaken, for the space shuttle, for NASA. So this thing, what we're trying to do, is it's doable. We're going to run into some roadblocks along the way. We're going to stumble around, like I said, but we will figure it out. The thing that we need is we need patience, and we need the resources. So anyone that's on this call who really is trying to understand what Black Wallets Matter is about, that's what we are about. If you're not a member, then again, we want to invite you. You go to the website, blackwalletsmatter.org, click the menu button. There's a link that says become a member. There's the blueprint. If you have not watched the blueprint in its entirety and you want to find out all the nitty-gritty details, it's about 36 minutes long. You can do that. There's also a link if you're just liking what you hear, you're not sure you want to become a member, but you want to help support us in our goals and our financial endeavors, you can make a one-time pledge. That link is there as well. If anyone has any final comments or any final notes, press *6. If not, we are going to wrap this call. All right. So it looks like no one has any final comments or questions. So we are going to end this call.
Good evening, everyone.